We are in the fight of our lives in America. We either have to acquiesce to paganism, communism, heathenism, all the rest of it, or we have to fight. If we have freedom 10 years from tonight in this country, freedom to do what we're doing right now, freedom of lawful assembly to preach and teach the Word of God, we're going to have to fight for the next 10 years. We're in the fight of our lives. In the earlier service this evening, our men had to throw a couple of fellows out of the service. Now, maybe you're new here. If you don't want it tough, you're in the wrong place. I mean, we're old-fashioned, rock-rib fundamentalists. We've made no bones about it in this town. Nobody's going to read a manifesto from this pulpit unless it's a preacher reading the Bible.
Amen.
Now, nobody's going to do it. You say, well, what if we have a riot? We'll just have a riot. A bunch of hippies came to my office one time, and they said, 25 of them, and they said, if you treat us right, you won't be in trouble. I said, us be in trouble. I said, you better be knocking your knees together to be afraid of us. He said, well, I mean, there won't be any violence if you treat us right. I said, you better hope there's no violence unless you've got 12,001. Because we're not going to put up with any violence or any misbehaving. We are old-fashioned, Bible-believing, conservative, independent, states' rights, fundamentalists, who believe the Bible and hate the devil and love America and believe in patriotism. And unless you're willing to fight for what you believe, you might have got better unpack your suitcase.
Amen.
We don't wear white gloves. Oh, we did, but they got bloody. I like what the Pentecostal preacher said. He said, God's called me to heal the dead, cast out the sick, and raise the devils. And we're in a fight, like it or not. You see, the liberal crowd can come and try to ruin a fundamentalist meeting. And the reason they do is we've let them get by with it too long. Too long. Now, we're going to have to put on our spiritual weapons of war, and we're going to have to fight for our freedom, or the communists are going to take over this country. And don't you kid yourself for a minute. Somebody said, I don't believe in mixing politics and religion. Then don't do it. But I do, and I do it. Well, you say, I don't think you ought to. Well, here, we don't have curb service nor menus. We just plop it out on the tray, and you just get it as it comes. You check the Bible, you'll find that in the Bible, every man of God, every prophet of the Old Testament told the kings and warned the kings about sin and called to the righteousness. We're in a fight of our lives in America. And one of the weapons the devil is using is to capture our minds through our eyes. Job was a good man, wonderful man, clean, mature, upright, hated sin, walked straight. Oh, he got proud a little while after he had done such a good job for God. But Job was a good man. And I say, Job, what's your secret? I mean, the Lord says you're the greatest Christian in the whole world. Such a great Christian until the Lord came to the devil and said, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's nobody like him. Job, what's your secret? And Job answers in chapter 31, verse 1, I made a covenant with mine eyes. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Did you know that if you want to live right, the best place to start is to make a covenant with your eyes? My mother used to teach me what your mother used to teach you. And I used to say when I was a little boy, back in 1884, I used to sing, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. You didn't sing it that well, but you sang it, no doubt, when you were a child. And all of us did. Now, the truth is, our magazines, our newspapers, the dirty movies, all the rest of the things are trying to appeal to our young people through the eyes. Now, what did Job mean when he said, I made a covenant with mine eyes? If I could say, put it this way, Job literally, in his own mind, detached himself from his eyes and personified his eyes. And Job said, eyes, I want to talk to you for a while. And the eyes said, all right, what do you want to say? And Job said, I want to make a covenant with you. You promise me something, I'll promise you something. And the eyes said, okay, Job, what kind of covenant? And Job said, eyes, I'll let you see the beauty of the sunrise. I'll let you see the sunset in the evening and the flowers in the meadow. I'll let you see the towering mountains with their ceaseless lights and shadows. I'll let you see the snowy white of the winter and the beautiful green of the meadow and the gold of the sunset. And I'll let you see the purest blue of the lake. I'll give you permission to see all of God's creation, eyes, but I want you to promise me one thing with this covenant. And eyes looked back and said, Job, what is this covenant? What is this promise you want from me? And Job said, I want us to make a covenant together, you and me, dear eyes, that we will look upon nothing that is evil. We will look upon nothing that is unholy. We will look upon nothing that will cause my mind to wander into sin or my body to follow what my eyes have seen, my mind has desired to do, my hands have wanted to take, and my body accepts. Job said, I'll make a deal with you, eyes. I'll let you see the beauties of God's creation if you will vow with me and to me that you will not look upon anything that is defiling or unholy. Now, that's what Job meant when he said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. He doesn't mean that he used his eyes to make a covenant. He means he personified his eyes and talked to his eyes and said, I'll make a bargain with you. I'll make a covenant with you. Now, I want every person in this house tonight to hear what I'm going to say, and I want you to promise God tonight that you're going to make a covenant with your eyes. The first step in that covenant is concerning looking upon the opposite sex. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, the passage that all of us know, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. You know one reason the main reason we have so much lewdness and adultery and wickedness and vile sensual sexual behavior and homosexuality. I tell you why. Because the devil is using such things as the dirty playboy philosophy to put before our eyes things that make our minds have evil thoughts and our bodies commit evil deeds. We have not made a covenant with one of our men who sang in the choir. By the way, I don't think he sang for long, and if he keeps on doing what he said he had done, he'll be out before long. But one of our men came and he said, I've had a sin. And I said, what is it? And he said, reading Playboy magazine. In God's dear name, don't you have anything better to read than that? And so the devil has come. Our country is obsessed with sex. Our country is obsessed with illicit, immoral behavior. This week in the mail, one of our members got an awful advertisement. And the lady brought it and put it under the door of my study, and I opened it, and she said, I got this in the mail. I wrote a little note. I got this in the mail this week. It was advertising a magazine. I think the title was called Man and Woman. And on the front, it had the picture of a nude woman and a nude man, with the man behind the woman with his arms around the top of her body. And other pictures in the inside of women with topless garments on. And they're sending those things through the mail and sending them to respectable people. I mean people like the dear lady who got it in the mail this week, trying to ruin and destroy and decay the minds of our young people and also our adults by the lust of the eye. The Playboy magazine. Now, I'm not a reader of Playboy magazine. I think there's been no man in all America who has helped to destroy our morals anymore. And I forgot his name all of a sudden. Hugh Hefner, yes. The dirty Hugh Hefner. And the filthy-minded Playboy magazine has done as much to destroy our nation as anything I know. In the first, as you know, and I'm going to sound like I read it. I do not read it. I simply visit the Billings house occasionally, but I know what's been going on because people. In fact, I have some articles right now. I hope I don't die right now because I got some dirty pictures in my pocket. Somebody gave me tonight. Doc, could you, Lord, let me live through this sermon to get these things out of my pocket. I recall one night I was going to preach on something like this, and I sent Sandy Plopper down to get me a sexology magazine. She said, not me. I said, you work for me, and I bet you're not going to get it, and I've got to have a copy of it. And so she disguised herself with a beard or something and went down and got a sexology magazine. And I thought, what in the world can I do with it? And so I preached from it. Went down to the Sword of the Lord and preached down there. And went to Dr. Rice's office, and there was one on his desk. But he had written a note. He said, this is for sermon preparation only. I did not write a note underneath it and say, ha-ha. But anyway, the Playboy magazine came out. First, it was pin-up girls with revealing scanty kind of swimsuits. And then after a while, it was the topless. And then now the bottomless. And then male nudes. And then the sex act. Did you know a man told me that in the Playboy magazine of this month that there's actually a picture of the sex act with a woman and a man in the very act in the Playboy magazine? I mean published. And you go to any airport in the country or any newsstand in the country and you will find them selling 10 Playboy magazines for any other magazine they sell. And so I'm simply saying that the devil is using dirty, rotten, filthy garbage like that to decay and destroy the minds of our young people and also our adults, for that matter. And now other magazines have taken it up. Now then, not just the Playboy, but there are other magazines and that coming with the nude women. And now the Cosmopolitan, I think it was, had a nude man pin up. And Playboy magazine is coming out with a play of male bunny. What's a male bunny? I don't know what it is. But anyway, a male nude of the month before long, they say. And what is it for? To stir the sensual, lustful minds of our people. Go to any large city in America. And you walk down. I was in Atlanta, Georgia the other day taking a walk, and I walked by a place, and it said, adult movies. And I did not go in, but I know what goes on, because in fact, one of our men had been in New York City and told me. He said, I stood outside and watched those men go in. And he said, I questioned them as they came out. They advertised up in on the outside of the dirty bookhouse and dirty movie house. They advertised. You go in here and you can see actual sex acts and homosexual acts. You can actually see movies of it. And it's allowed as okay. Things that used to be pornographic are now considered just normal. And trying to stir through the eye the sensual lust of our people. Less than five blocks from where I stand tonight is a movie that ought to be outlawed. It ought to be closed up. I forget the name of the place down there on Calumet Street, as dirty as the hell from whence it came and to which it's going, and drive by most any time, and you'll see wicked men walking in to see plays like Sex for Under 17 and The Naked Woman and Women Loving Each Other and dirty, filthy acts on the screen. What for? To stir the passion through the eyes. In a local high school, a high school in the Calumet region, they had a play recently with a nude in the play. High school. If you have a student that goes to that high school, you ought to ask God to forgive you and get your kid in a decent Christian high school. A nude in a play. Oh, you say, that's just scholarship. It's heathenism. It's paganism. It's as rotten as hell. God give us again some faith. Listen, if the preachers in this city would take a stand against what's going on, such rotten filth wouldn't be allowed in this city. A so-called preacher out in Munster had an article in the paper, and he said he used his Playboy magazine to preach from. I wrote him a note and asked him if he ever heard of the Bible. It's what God gives us to preach from. Needless to say, they closed their doors on Sunday night. Blessed be God. And I hope they'll close their doors on Sunday morning soon. Can you picture it? Well, you say, I just don't believe in that kind of preaching. Why don't you find you some little sissy fellow wears lace on his trousers and go hear him then? Don't go tonight because he's home tonight watching television. And the church is closed. But our country's gone. Our country's gone. If we don't have a generation of God's men who hate sin, hate the devil, and tax such filth and rubbish that's trying to destroy our young people. You go a step further than that. Drive by the average high school. One man said to me, when are you going to get off the high schools? Never. Never. See, I'll be glad when you get over this kick. It's a big kick. It's a high one. When I get through with that, I'm going to kick again. As long as I can drive by Hammond Technical High School and see a burlesque show out in front, I'm going to preach against it. The 100 deacons don't like it, they can lump it. And 463 Sunday school teachers don't like it, they can lump it. When you drive by a local high school and you see hot pants, I mean real hot pants, allowed, and girls come in frayed blue jeans, the blue, solid material comes down just barely to cover their hips, and then it's frayed, and they're allowed to wear that kind of thing to school, and the courts allow it and call it legal, and the poor principal has no choice in the matter except to quit, and he ought to quit. Somebody ought to cry aloud and spare not. You say, Brother Howell, it's the first time I've ever been to your church, and I bet folks don't like you very much. Well, I don't know. I never checked on it. I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about saving this nation and saving our kids, and I'm not going to let folks run around naked in the school system and run up down the streets half naked and like heathen, like barbarians, like Tarzan and apes, and without somebody in this town crying aloud and saying wrong is still wrong, black is still black, sin is still sin, the devil is still as wicked as can be, and somebody's going to have to fight for righteousness and against ungodliness in this city. If there ever was an area in this world where there ought to be a voice, a clarion call for decency in America and honor and patriotism, it's this Calumet area. Men, I'll be honest with you. Get up in the morning, turn your television set on, and there's somebody talking about free sex. Walk down the street, and you can't walk a block from out of you to see some little mini-skirted Jezebel showing off all she has. And then you turn the other way, and there's an advertisement. Somebody's trying to sell a car, and you got a naked woman sitting on the fender of it. And then you decide to buy a newspaper, and the newspaper's got a picture of some nudes in Italy. Somebody gave me an article of the nude bathing in Italy. You got a picture of nudes in the newspaper. And you go to a high school play, and you see here cursing and filth and nudity, and go to the college campus, and nudity's the thing, and go to the magazine stand, and nudity's the thing. The only hope the average man has, and any red-blooded normal man in this house knows is the truth. The only hope you have is to look at your eyes and say, I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm not going to let you look at anything that's unholy or indecent. Let me just go a step further. You little mini-skirted girls that don't have enough decency to wear skirts down to your knees. If you're not a harlot, why do you dress like one? Well, you say, I'll never come back here again. That's why I'm letting you have it while you're here, sweetheart. I was out in a certain school in this area and a meeting with an English committee. And one little female English teacher, she got up and she got so mad at me. I'm telling you what, those that wore peace symbols sure lost their love for peace when I was in that room. And the loving sure did lose their love. And when it comes to the bigoted, the unbigoted can sure get bigoted toward us bigoted. And this little female teacher taught English. She got up and she didn't have a dress on. She had on a long skirt, blouse, long blouse, and not much of a blouse. And she wiggled herself and she said, well, Mr. Hiles, in all of my life, I've never seen anybody quite like you. And I said, honey, where I come from, your type is mighty scarce too, thank God. There ought to be an avalanche of fundamental preachers across this country telling our girls to lengthen their skirts. And the first faculty member in our school that that lets a girl come to class in a miniskirt, this girl's going to go and the faculty member's going to go. I mean, we're for decency. We're for respectability. There's not any use in God's people stirring the evil passions of the minds of lustful men by showing your thighs off in public. People say, "What, brother, what's wrong with wearing shorts?" Don't ask me that. You know what's wrong with wearing shorts. There's not a man in this room that needs to be asked what's wrong with wearing shorts. Unless he's sick. I was on the airplane coming from Toronto, Canada last week. And the stewardesses all had on miniskirts. And I watched the men as the stewardesses walked down the aisle. And as they walked down the aisle, all the men, except a few little sissies, turned and looked at their legs and lusted after those girls. All of them. I think I'll just go ahead and just shoot all barrels. Amen. If it's wrong to wear shorts in public, don't you think it's just as wrong on a beach as it is on grass? Strange thing. I'm afraid you're not going to go on diets, and so I'm going to preach you out so I won't have to build a new building. Strange thing. Girls that don't believe in wearing shorts on grass, if it's on sand, it's okay. I preached at a certain Bible conference recently where they had mixed bathing. I'm not against mixed bathing. I'm not at all. Get your overcoats on and go bathing with all the girls and boys you want to. It's not that. It's mixed nudity I'm against, you see. And you say, "Brother House, you're against that too?" You don't know half of it yet. But anyway, I was at a certain Bible conference, and they have mixed bathing. And so we're driving down a highway. One of the fellows in charge of it, he and I have been talking a little bit about a few little things. And we came to a couple of hippies. A girl was lying. Now, this is the truth. No joke. Everything I say is the truth. This really is the truth. And the hippies were lying down, hitchhiking, lying down. Have anybody ever seen anything like that? They're actually lying down. I mean, had their heads on their we used to call them toe sacks when I was a kid, on their bundle and lying down, and as a car come by, they just look up and go like that. And the male, I gather it was the male, he had his shirt off and was stripped from the waist up. He had on a topless outfit from the waist up, and he was lying there naked from the waist up. Hitchhiking. And this preacher said, "Oh, isn't that vulgar looking?" I said, "Sure. But," I said, "if you built a fence around him, dug a hole and poured water in it, he could take his britches off too. It'd be okay, wouldn't it?" I got you where the hair is short now, haven't I? Huh? Yeah. He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I mean what I said. I said, that fella looks exactly like the crowd looks at your Bible conference, except he has breeches on." "Well," he said, "it's different." I said, "I know it." I said, "Your crowd looks more vulgar than his." "Well," he said, "there's a difference." I said, "Yes, a hole of water, a hole full of water, and a fence around it. And that makes nudity okay." You say, "You're against mixed bathing?" I am totally, 100% against a girl showing her thighs and her body to a man. I don't care whether it's outside the water. I don't care if it's on a diving board. I don't care where it is. I'm against it. "Well, yes, I don't like it." Well, you just better learn to like something that's decent and honorable. You know as well as I know what lustful men do on these beaches in Chicago. "But the house, this is the college kids are coming, the parents are here, and here you are. You've got some sermons on heaven and the love of God, and you can be sweet sometimes." One of the ladies the other day said, "I joined your church about 2 months ago, and every time I get to where I just about love you, then I hate you, and about the time I get to where I want to kill you, then you preach a sermon on love again. You can't love unless you hate the devil. Billy Sunday used to say, you can't love flowers unless you hate weeds. You can't love God unless you hate sin. I'm simply saying, make a covenant with your eyes and say, I'm not going to look at women to lust after them. I'm not going to watch, read these dirty magazines. I'm not going to cast my eyes on Playboy magazines. I'm not going to look at naked women on beaches. I'm not going to let my eyes look on that which is unholy and impure. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you say. Young men, you hear me tonight. If you want to stay as clean as I want you to stay, and if you grow up and be what I want you to be, you're going to have to look at your eyes, if you're normal, and I want you to be, I want you to look at your eyes and say, eyes, you're not going to look on those dirty calendars. You're not going to look at those dirty pictures. You're not going to feast your eyes on those sexy women and these mini-skirted girls. You're going to have to say, my eyes shall be given to God. Now, I'll tell you one reason I'm preaching like this. I don't want anybody to come to our school under false pretense. I want you to know what we believe from the ground up. One year when I first came here, I put a box on the pulpit here at the Lord's Supper table, and I said, any sin that I haven't preached against that you can think of, I said, the year, we have one more Sunday in the year. I said, write that sin on a piece of paper and put it in that box, and I'll preach against it next Sunday. Not a thing was in that box. Nobody could find anything I'd miss. Nobody. We hate the devil. We hate the dirty sex crazed mania in America. We hate the playboy philosophy. And I'll say this much, too. You girls that wear your miniskirts, you don't know it, but you've been influenced by the playboy philosophy. And you boys that wear your long, shaggy hair, you've been influenced with the Jerry Rubin crowd. You have let a godless, communistic philosophy influence you. Rise up, O people of God. Walk like Christians. Talk like Christians. Sing like Christians. Dress like Christians ought to dress. God's name, what's wrong with our kids? And you say, I brought my little girl to school here, and you've offended her. Well, you just take your little darling back home. If you don't want her under the influence of one of God's men that believes in decency, then you just trot her back to one of these little schools where she can go to the devil first class. As Bob Gray says, say amen or go home. You recall where David got in trouble? The time for the kings to go to war came, and David stayed in his room and paced the floor. It was unlawful for one house to look over the battlements of its walls into the battlements of another house. And David the king looked over into the battlements of the house next door, and there he saw Uriah, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba. She was bathing. And by the way, because David looked at Bathsheba, and because he lusted after her, and because of the sins that followed, Ahithophel, David's fast friend, his Kissinger, if you please, his advisor in the affairs of state, his personal friend of years, turned against David because Ahithophel was the grandfather of Bathsheba. And David, when he looked at Bathsheba, he lusted after her. And had he not looked at her, he would not have lusted after her. And had he stayed busy, he wouldn't have had time to look at her. Loitering young people, hanging around restaurants and hanging around drive-ins, nothing to do. Keep busy, keep busy, keep busy. And let your eyes look on that which is holy. Say to your eyes, I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm going to keep you clean. You're not going to read dirty literature. You're not going to read sexy magazines. And by the way, school is starting, and you folks that go to public schools, you be sure your child doesn't read such filth and garbage as Catcher in the Rye and Of Mice and Men. All the rest of it. Catcher in the Rye, for example, has over one time per page the word D-A-M used after the name of God. And the four-letter word is that is on sidewalks and in restaurants written by vulgar men, used to be written by vulgar kids and men. That word is used in several different ways with several different words added to it scores and scores and scores of times. I don't know what you do. Just for the kick of it, go get you a book, Catcher in the Rye, and open it anywhere you want to open it and read a half a dozen pages and see what they're requiring your kids to read. Make a covenant with your eyes. Eve, Saul, Achan, Saul. Our Lord said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out! Pluck it out! You men! You big, strong, grown men who've been reading dirty literature and sexy novels. and looking at dirty pictures and casting your eyes on the bodies of women with unholy glances and lusting after them. In God's name, quit your like men and be strong, clean, decent men. Make a covenant with your eyes concerning the opposite sex. There's a second covenant. Second part of that covenant, that's concerning liquor. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 31 I read, Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Look not on what? The lust, the wicked woman. Look not on what? The lust after a woman in your heart. Look not on what? Look not on the wine. Did you notice that? Doesn't say just don't drink the wine, says don't look at it. That means when you go to a company party and they serve wine at your table, you're committing a sin against Proverbs 23, verse 31. Look not on the wine. That means when you have a television set and a commercial comes on and liquor is advertised on your television set and you leave it on, that means you sin against God, according to Proverbs 23, 31. Look not upon the wine. When a liquor commercial comes on, when you know when it's going to come on, you can see it getting, jump up and turn the set off and leave it off for 60 seconds or so. Look not on the wine when it is red. Let me say this. I'm not opposed to owning a television set, but I'll tell you what, a lot of Christian people are sending their kids to hell because they're not careful about what goes on that television set. I was at home recently late at night, and I got a telephone call. Somebody said, look on channel 44. Is it 44? There is 44? Channel 44. I turned on channel 44. And they were interviewing two women whose job it is to commit adultery with all types of men in front of movie cameras so that they can take these film and put them in these little dirty hole-in-the-wall bookstores, adult-only bookstores across the country. And these females actually did those acts, all kinds of indecent, immoral, perverted acts in front of the cameras. And they were interviewing these females as respectable citizens. One night I got a call. Somebody said, by the way, don't call me if it's too late. But anyway, somebody, by the way, what are you doing watching this stuff anyway? Dr. Billings called me one night. And somebody called and said, Pastor, look on a certain channel. On a certain channel. And they had two males, homosexuals, they were interviewing and letting them spread their heresy that homosexuality should be accepted. Now, you listen to me, the television set is about to get as rotten as the devil. Not only are you to be careful, listen, let me say this. Women, you are going to face God over these dirty soap operas you're watching in the afternoons. Now, you are. Say amen. You are. You're going to answer to God for it. Wicked as the devil. When I was a kid, it was the radio soap operas. They weren't quite as bad. Memories, memories, days of love so true. O'er the sea of memories, I'm drifting back to you. And now the true to life story of Stella Dallas. Will Stella's daughter, Laurie, find happiness with Dick? Or will Dick find happiness with somebody else? The answer is simple. Dick and the daughter are both going to find miserableness with somebody else. And now Oxydol's own Ma Perkins. And now the Jot 'em Down store with Lum and Abner. Don't laugh. You're dating yourself. But are the shadow known? We grew up on that kind of stuff. But the kind of stuff that folks are growing upon now on these dirty soap operas on television, nothing more than sanctified adultery. That's all it is. Wickedness and lewdness and triangles and all the rest of it. That means if somebody is at your table and they're drinking liquor, get up and leave. That means if your company has a party and they're going to serve liquor at your table, don't you go to the party. Well, you say, I'm not going to participate in the liquor. The Bible says, look not upon the wine when it's red. That means when you have a business conference with somebody and you're entertaining someone in business, that means if he drinks liquor, you don't sit at the table. Look not on the wine when it's red. You say, brother, how? That sounds like you're a fanatic. I know. You guessed it the first time you heard me. I am. When I enrolled in college, I took a course in phonetics and thought I was in fanatics for 3 weeks before I found out the difference. If we don't have some fanatics for decency, we're gone. If we don't get somebody that gets as mad at the McGovern philosophy as McGovern does Agnew, we're gone. If we don't have somebody that fights for decency as much as the Playboy magazine fights for indecency, we're gone. If we don't have some preachers who try to stand up and say to our boys and girls, sin is bad. You've heard me say this, our people have, but God bless my little mother, used to take a magazine, and when I was a kid, and take a magazine article and hold it up, and mother's here tonight, I'm sure, hold it up, and she'd say, son, this is a cigarette article, and she'd say, bad, and I was about 3 or 4 years old, and she'd say it, and I'd say, bad, and she'd say, bad, I'd say, bad, she'd say, bad, I'd say, bad, she'd say, no, 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 bad, 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 and I got the idea cigarettes were bad. That's what the Apostle Paul meant when he said, make sin exceeding sinful. You don't say to our young folks around here that sin is bad. We say sin is as rotten as the devil who made it. Free from it! Bad! Bad! No! 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 Playboy magazine, no! Liquor, no! Liquor crowd, no! Sexy novels, no! Of mice and men, no! Catcher in the Rye, no! Looking at evil girls, no! Wearing miniskirts, no! Wearing hot pants, no! Nothing to stir the passions of the minds of men, but rather modestly dressed so men can look at you and see that beauty that's of a quiet and meek spirit. There's a third covenant you ought to make with your eyes, and that covenant is the covenant concerning riches. Proverbs 23, verse 4 says, labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not, for riches certainly make themselves wings, then fly away as an eagle toward heaven. It says, don't set your eyes on riches. I was thinking, Dr. Billings, last night, one of our men, who's a tradesman, craftsman, came to my study the other day, and I'd never tell you who it is, but a craftsman. He's telling me about his job, and I said, you make pretty good, I guess. He said, yes. He took out his check stub and showed me that last week he made over $600 last week. Over $600. And I'm glad he does. He's the kind of fellow that we get $60 of that. I wish you made $60,000 last week. He's the right kind of man. I'm glad he does. But I was thinking about these school teachers. They're coming here teaching our school. Many of them have master's degrees. They make less money than the Hammond garbage collectors make. That's right. They've not cast their eyes on riches. They've gone to school. Many of them waited on tables and done without and worked at night and slaved and toughed it out in school. Why? So they can live a life almost of poverty. Why? Because they've got their eyes on something more than dollar bills and riches, the lives of young people. Compare our school teachers and our Hammond Baptists. Say, why don't you pay them more? Because we can't afford it. We just couldn't make ends meet. The tuition is all we have. We don't take government money. And by the way, we'll never take a dime of government money as long as I have a rational mind. Not a dime of it. We don't take government money. And these dear school teachers have given their lives to influencing others. God bless them. Don't cast your eyes on riches. Compare our school teachers with these strikers wanting more money, making $8 an hour now and wanting $10 an hour. Compare that to someone who goes to college and works, waits on tables and works and works and gets a degree and goes back and gets a master's degree and then finishes his life and goes into his last work and starts off at about $6,000 a year salary. Compare that to these folks that are on television saying, we want more money, we want more money. Tell you what, did you know most of our school teachers, if McGovern gets elected and the minimum wage is $6,500 a year, that'll be a raise for most of our school teachers. Most of our school teachers live beneath the poverty standard. I was out at the Munster Meat Market about a year ago. I got behind her. She happened to be a Negro lady. She could have been white or maroon, as far as I'm concerned. But I got behind this Negro lady, and she had boots on up to her knees, and she had on a leather jacket. It must have been a $100 jacket. And I saw her picking out meat. And she had a big roast, and she had sirloin steaks. I said, boy, she must be rich. Man alive. I bought some little hamburger meat, some little bitty steaks, about an ounce and a half piece, and this lady, oh, she piled that thing, that big basket full of steaks. I mean, filet, you know, filet mignons. And she piled it full of sirloins and T-bone. And all I had was round steak. You call it bologna, I think, here. But anyway, I had round steak. And so I got in line, and I watched her, and I thought, boy, her husband must be mayor of Gary or something. She must be the richest person in this whole area. And I watched her. Time came to pay. Her bill was over $160. And boy, I said, I just want to see that much money pass hands. You know what she took out? Welfare coupon. I wanted to grab that steak and say, some of that's mine. Amen. At least you could look around and say, thank you, sir. I bought that for you. Let them have it. Let them have their riches. We can just see some kids turn out to be decent kids. That's all the money we're looking for. That's all the money we want. You say, Brother Hiles, what do you preach so mean for? I tell you why I preach mean. Last night in my office, it was uncovered that some of our own kids had been caught in the act of homosexuality. High school kids, Hammond Baptist. You want to know why I mean? One of our leaders came the other day and said, did you know that fond a certain boy? I'm just going to go ahead and say it. She said, not only is he a wicked, but he's a homosexual. But not only that, he commits lewd sex acts with animals. Yeah, that's here. That's right here. Tell you what you do. You build a high school someday and raise money and plead with the people and take the money from people like you. Hard-earned money. Some of you working midnight, moonlight jobs. Some of you ladies working in sandwich stands to make enough money to pay for our buildings out there. Dr. Billings has given his life. He could make five times what he makes as an actor in Hollywood, being a stuntman for Rock Hudson. He could make five times what he makes. He's given his life. If you'll let me say this, none of us is making a lot of money. You preach for 13 years at a church, and you pastor a little kid from the time he's 5 years old to the time he's 16. and you pray for him and preach to him and dream about his future, and then read with your own eyes where he's been in homosexual acts, and see if you don't preach a little hard the next night too. I told the devil a couple of years ago, the last kid I've got is going to the devil without a fight for him. I love these kids. Little girl came tonight. She loves me enough to where she can be cute with me. And she said, I got something for you. She gave me a pen. Put on my lapel here. Three words on it. Bald is beautiful. She's been expelled from our high school. You sit in your office like I do and have them come in one after the other. Hope and dream and pray, and like Dr. Billings does and the rest of us. You take a little kid when he's 5 years old and put him on your knee in the baptistry and baptize him. And build a school for him. Pray for him. Dream for his future. Counsel with him in your study. And then find out he's been committing perverted acts. See if you don't want to holler and say, wrong, wrong, bad, bad. Boys, listen to me tonight. You listen to me. Young men, if you can't be anything else, you can be a man. And moms and dads, listen to me. I don't know where it starts. It starts with boys like this on the front row. Some little kids in the neighborhood, get them off in the group and say, take off your clothes and let's play around a little bit. Now, I'm telling you exactly like it is. I know. They come to me and tell me. Moms and dads, you know where these kids are. I mean boys this age down here. And you junior boys, first time some little fella says, come on and let's play around together and take off your clothes. You're on home. And young men, listen to me. You don't have to be a perverted freak. You don't have to be. And if you are, don't you believe these psychologists that say it's just a sickness. It's a dirty, rotten sin out of hell. The first time some little freak tries to put his hands somewhere where they ought not to be, you'll forgive me, you pacifist. Knock the fire out of him! Or out of it. So you're teaching your kids how to fight. Yes, but you wouldn't dare teach yours. Better know I'm teaching them how to fight. I say this to my boy right now. One of these little queer fellows comes up to you, and I'm talking to my boy David. Knock the fire out of him! You can't call me! You say, well, Brother Hiles, that'd be violent. If somebody had been violent with him years ago, he wouldn't be like that. Dr. Billings, if they go to slugging folks at school, don't expel them. I'm saying, young men, now listen to me. Listen to me. They say that one out of every three boys in our nation is approached by some peculiar, weird character. Now, let me tell you something. Boy, I'm talking to you boys in the front, too. All you little fellas, all of you, listen to me now. The first time they do. Now, I mean it. And by the way, if anybody gives you in trouble before, you just come to me, and I'll see to it you don't get punished for it. Amen. If he touches you where you ought not be touched, let him have it! There's nothing any more disgusting and a bunch of boys loving around on boys. Or girls loving around on girls. You say, well, Brother Hiles, why are you preaching like? I know I'm preaching because I've got proof in my office right now. About a ring of it been going on in this church. You little sissy freak. You say, you don't love him. I love him enough to tell him what he is. You need to get right with God, ask God to forgive you, and turn from that kind of lustful wickedness, or one of these days, your life is going to be wrecked and ruined. Oh, my. Wish I had time to tell you parents what to do. When your kids are little, make them sweat. When they're boys, make them sweat. Teach them how to box. Make them carry brick. When I was in the Army, they used to say to us, take this brick over here across the street and stack it up over there. We'd work all day, and the next day they'd say, take that brick and stack it up where it was yesterday. I'd say, man, that's what don't ask questions, just stack the brick. I'd spend the entire day stacking the brick over here. Next day the sergeant come out and say, take that brick and stack it over here. I'd say, Sergeant, I wish you'd make up your mind where you want that brick stacked. And he says, I have an awful hard time, Hiles, making up my mind. Stack the brick! I felt led to stack brick. David was 5 years old. I got him a pair of boxing gloves. Two pair. Called a kid across the street over. Kid was bigger than Dave. 2 years older. I put two gloves on Dave and two on the kid. They went at it. I said, 3 rounds. We got down the basement. I marked off a ring with chalk. I said, when the gong goes off, 3 rounds to a knockout or a decision. Dave went out there, got his glove, went out there like this. I don't know why you want to go out there like that. And the guy hit him right in the mouth. I mean, right here. And all the blood came down here and tears, water came out here. And Dave said, I want to quit. And I said, no Hiles ever quit. I said, you fight 3 rounds or get knocked out. He said, Dad, how do you get knocked out? Now, he's sometimes a little cocky, but he's no sissy. He's no sissy. Make a covenant with your eyes. You're not going to behold that which is evil or sinful. Some of you parents right now don't like what I'm saying, but some of you folks that are mad at me right now, if you knew what I knew about your kids, you'd be scared to death. There are men in this room tonight who never miss prayer meeting. Listen to me. Never miss prayer meeting. There are men in this room tonight who never miss Sunday morning or never miss Sunday night unless they're working. And there are mothers who teach in our Sunday schools or superintend our departments, some of the finest ladies in this church. If you knew what I know tonight, you'd be on your face praying for God to help your boy. You'd be on your face all night long tonight. You say, well, why don't you tell me if it's my boy? You just take it like it may be. And you stand up for what the preacher is trying to teach your kid. And young men, you make a covenant with your eyes that you're not going to look on that which is indecent. If there's anything in this world we need, it's some boys with clean minds because they have clean eyes. David said in Psalm 119, verse 37, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Now here's the covenant I want you to make. Number one, I want you to make a covenant tonight. I'm talking to every man, woman, boy, and girl in this house. I want a covenant made with your eyes tonight. Number one, that you will not look upon indecently exposed bodies, whether in person or in literature. Number two, I want you to make a covenant with your eyes tonight that you will not read anything that you wouldn't read in the presence of Jesus Christ. Number three, I want you to make a covenant with your eyes tonight that you're not going to read literature that is dirty and D-A-M-N-S, the name of our God, in the public school system. Well, you say, I'll fail the course. In the first place, if anybody fails you on a course because you have to read dirty literature and won't do it, you contact me, and we'll go as far as the Supreme Court if we have to do it. Now, no school teacher is going to cram filth down your throat without a fight from Brother Hyams. You just let me know. Number three, never attend a Hollywood movie. Or watch one on television. Next number. Make a covenant with your eyes that you will not look at girly pictures or any other kind of picture that would cause unholy thoughts. Next covenant. I want you ladies to make a covenant that you are going to wear modest clothing, not revealing your legs, thighs, not revealing the upper part of your body in lustful exposure, that you'll wear clothing that'll honor God. Next thing, I want you to make a covenant with your eyes tonight that you will not watch any liquor ads on television. Not even watch them. Next thing, I want you to make a covenant with your eyes tonight that you'll watch no dirty, obscene programs on television. That means Johnny Carson. That means this other guy that's on. The little short run. Dick Cavett. Glad to have somebody that watches it here so he can tell me what it's all about. Dick Cavett. Boy, the other night somebody called me and told me, said Governor Maddox is going to be on Dick Cavett's show. And I went home and turned it on, and boy, he rang the bell true. He did. They asked him, what was his favorite movie? He said, I haven't been in a movie in 30 years. They said, what? They said, where do you get your soul food? He pulled out his Bible. He said, right there. I said, thank God he testified as truly on Dick Cavett's show as he did in the pulpit of First Baptist Church of Hammond. Same, and told about Jesus Christ. And even told about carrot juice, blessed be God. Right there. I want you to make a covenant with your eyes tonight that you will not eat at a table where you have to watch the bottle while it's red. I want you to make a covenant with your eyes. Men, you too. Ladies, you too. We have not seen the beginning yet. Now listen to me. We have not seen the beginning yet of what's going to happen to tempt our people through their eyes. You will live to see the day when illicit sex acts are performed in your living room on your television set. You will live to see the day where nude men and women will be running through your family room or den on your television screen. There are boys in this section tonight who've been sneaking peeks at pornographic literature. Young men, you are infesting your mind with sins that will lead your life to ruin, decay, and tragedy. There are men in this building tonight who've been looking at the Dirty Playboy magazine and others like it, and letting your eyes take in the filth of those wicked women and the wicked minds that hired the women. I'm asking you tonight to make a covenant with your eyes. You say, Brother Hiles, when you preach hard like this, aren't you afraid? Yes, I am. I'm afraid if I don't preach hard like this, our people are going to go to the devil. I'll tell you what you say, Brother Hiles, aren't you afraid you'll lose people? I never have made that an issue of my preaching. Never have. Never have. If I knew tonight when I walked in that building that I'd lose 100 of my families, I'd preach exactly what I preached tonight. And you know it's the truth. I want my people to be the cleanest people. I want my people to have the cleanest eyes. I don't care if they like us in town or not. I want them to know we're different in town.